Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Coming back to who are the solitary. Okay, I'd like to pull up the last slide that we had with the baptism, because there's a very significant thing that happened there, because these people that Sherard found, or I should say the Lord sent them, 12, 13 of them, they went to his three-month Bible school, because that was all that his budget would allow to pay for them, because they came from villages where he had evangelized maybe one person out of a village at a time. They're mostly Hindu and Muslim villages. But he gave them the opportunity to come and teach them for a period of 3 months. And this was the class, he always refers to this batch as the second batch, because one of the couples that was in the school was a husband and a wife, and she was carrying her son in the womb and gave birth while she was in class, not in the classroom, but she had to drop out. And so she came back in the next year and finished with a one-year-old son. And before we did all the water baptisms, Sherard, I always told you about that old ratty taped-up guitar he had. That's it with duct tape on it. But you know, it just had such a beautiful sound. I took him to a music store, and he didn't want to buy a new guitar. He really liked that one. So he just kept playing it, and it was good out in the rough. We just all found a bush to change into some dry clothes afterwards, and the baptisms were wonderful. So you can go to the next one, Aaron, please. And this is the second batch of students. He took them the Lord raised them up out of these little remote villages and brought them to a place where they could learn and grow in their new faith, and then sent them back to their respective villages. Okay, Aaron, go ahead. And I made the mistake of wearing a nice suit to India, a black suit, in the middle of the hottest month of the year. I won't do that again, not of my own will. But I didn't know. I got asked to be there and to teach them a few basic principles of faith like we do downstairs, so that they would have a basic foundation in their faith and then others could build. And the neat thing was, as I got to sign all of their diplomas, Sherard's wife Prima handed them their diplomas, and I brought my little bottle of anointing oil that year. And actually that was the first year that I had gone to India. That was 2001. Because I answered an email and got to participate in these things, outdoor crusades. And so, go ahead with the slide. And this young man there that I've anointed him with oil, each of the students, I prayed for each one individually and anointed them with oil and released them back to their villages and the respective ministries that they would have. And that man's name was Joseph. Joseph went back to the mountain villages. There's two villages high up in the Nilgiri Mountains that I was taken to in 2013. And one night back in the winter, I showed you all the slides of that trip where I could show you all the people. The one where the elephant stomped a woman working in her garden. The one a man lost half of his foot in a farming accident. Joseph is like the spiritual father of that whole village. And you go ahead. And this is another Bible next class of Bible students, we had an outdoor place on the end of the building because most of the time the electric goes out, so you don't have any fans and no lights. So they built this little thatch thing on the end of the building, and we had Bible school outside. And I really liked that. It was very freeing. And this girl, whoops, there she is. That girl there was beaten by her parents to the point of almost being handicapped, not only in her mind, but her heart. And Tom took a little green doll that somebody made by hand, and we hand carried it and gave it to her. And I don't know what happened, except that when she got that, she knew somebody loved her that she may never meet in this life, and it was somebody in Keene. It wasn't Tom. It was another lady that Tom and Carol knew. And she sensed in her heart that she was to make a doll for us to bring. And Tom laughed about that and stuffed it in his suitcase and gave it to that girl in the yellow dress. And do you know that turned her life around so much that she excelled and she went right to the head of her class in her studies, her abilities to learn again because she had been so beaten and squashed. And that little doll, next week I'll bring a picture of that doll. I had so many pictures I wanted to bring and tried to keep it focused. But when you're talking about God sets the solitary in families, I'm giving you some examples of how that worked and what happened as a result of the one that was set in a family. Okay, go ahead now, Aaron. And that's Joseph now. And this is when I went to his village and the other one, and it was so cold. I showed you the other pictures that went with that. Sherrard was so cold up in the mountains, it was probably 60, and a cold, drizzly rain. I felt it just felt like summer to me. It felt good, but when you live there, you get a day that's 60 in a wind-driven, rainy drizzle. It's cold to them. But Joseph is a man who went back to his village, started a Bible weekly meeting in his home, and opened up the whole village to his home, whether they were Muslims or Hindus, because God raised him up, a single solitary person, had the chance to go to Sherrard's Bible school for 3 months, and then went back to his village and started a group of people that meet every week, in spite of a lot of opposition. Okay, can go to the next one. This is the village. The reason that mud is so high on the building is because that's how deep the water gets in the mountain rains in the monsoon season. That's why I go either in April, the hot, dry month, or I go in October after the monsoon rains are over in the mountains. But it's just another picture of what it looks like. Go ahead, Aaron. I just want to show you what my eyes see. And this is the uptown part. This is the other side of the tracks. This is where most of the people live. The floors are dirt. And these blocks used to be concrete, but they're all wearing apart, and that's what the walls look like on the inside, or they paint them even over the stones. Okay, go ahead. And this is the church outdoors. I mean, I just thrive in a place like I just absolutely love it. I mean, even the cows come. It's so cool. You know, and now that tarp they brought in to sit on because the ground is wet. A lot of times they sit on straw mats, but they get wet through the mats, so they sat on a tarp. And just shared the hope that the gospel brings and pray for every person. That's one thing I've always done. I'm not really good at group prayers. If God called me to do that, I would. But there's something about from the time I got saved and Jesus said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I've always prayed that way whenever it's possible to pray one-on-one with these people. And it can take literally hours of standing while they come. Okay, go ahead. Okay, this is inside that house. This is inside of Joseph's house. And this is a small percentage of the people that were jammed in there. They sit like cross-legged on the floor inside, and it's very difficult to walk through them. So I just sit on the floor with them when it's time for prayer. But these people that are taken, that were the solitary ones, and now they're in the family of God. All of these people are saved now through Joseph's willingness to be used of the Lord in his evangelism spirit. Okay, go ahead. And this was, you can see a familiar face back there beside mine. Imagine that, Jesse. 3 years back, 4 years ago, 2018. I don't know where that cross came from over my head. That was in the photograph. It's an amazing thing. And Jesse was there to witness how these gypsies all come together in this little hut. Some are beaten on the way by their brothers or their fathers. You won't see many men in the gypsy camp because they're so caught up in whatever religion they follow. But they're not Christians. But these people are. The daughters, a lot of the wives. They're the ones that after they got saved, they quit stealing and quit robbing each other's huts. And they began to grow plants where they could make oil and take it in the market and sell it as oil for cooking, oil for fragrances, for washing and bathing. But they have needs. And 1 year I was privileged to be there to pray. They had all of their canisters of oil, big plastic containers, like we take 5 gallon gas cans to get gas for our lawnmowers. Well, they had oil that they made from flowers, and they would go off to different cities in India and sell those products, an honest living instead of thieving and stealing. And I'm always reminded of one of the girls. I heard her outside the hut, and her father was smacking and beating her with his fist. I know what that sounds like. And her crying. And she said, I'm coming anyway. And every year I went to that camp, so many times that happened. The brothers, older brothers, or their fathers would beat them for coming to a Bible study or for a time to pray. So if you think you're having a bad day, you know, think about your beloveds that live far from here, and you may never live to see this happen here in our state. But I'll tell you, my heart is like mushy peanut butter inside all the time. I could so easily be taken advantage of because of that. Okay, Jesse, go ahead. Aaron. This is also because the Lord has enabled this church to send money to Sherrard once a month all these years as an outreach ministry. There's 5 widows that they're very particularly attentive to because they live like this. You can go to the next one, Aaron. There's a pair of sandals right there, so I know she's in the hut. And I've had the privilege of going. These are more of God's solitary. And I thought the best way to bring these scriptures to life is to take you there with me so that you can see it for yourself how much God cares. Because you're part of the ministry that happens to these widows. Kakaran, a blanket. In the mountains, like I said, it gets chilly cold. And the widows don't have warm blankets for the most part. We have helped with that when he does the children and the widows Christmas time. Or once in a while somebody in the congregation gives me some cash to put in his account and earmark for the widows, and they buy a bag of rice, a 50-pound bag of rice. Everything is in kilograms there, kilos, and it will last them a long time. And they're so content that they see that God thought of them in their loneliness, their hopelessness, and their despair. God has raised up people. You see, he takes the solitary and he sets them in a family. And there's a family in India that takes care of them now. This was a different village. This was when I went to the Hyderabad area, 2016. And then I went down to Sherrard's. But I found the ministry is the same. You find hurting people everywhere you go there. Okay, Aaron, go ahead. These are the ones, that's a nice wool blanket there. And that, you see, that was 2013. And she's one of the five that Sherrard and Prima, God has raised them up to take care of the widows there. But they do it with your help. And that's why when I pass those baskets around, I don't have to pump it up, because you already know these things. But some of you haven't seen some of these pictures of how real scriptures like this have become in my life. What it means for me to have the privilege to be able to go, once again, because you helped me go. Number two, there's always extra money that I leave there when I come home. Sometimes I take odd jobs, painting, whatever, so that I can have money of my own and not the church's money to give to beggars in the streets, to take them out to dinner as a family, to go to a coffee shop. I feel very privileged. Aaron, go ahead. This is the little house in Talavati where we have a Sundays every Sunday. That house is the hall there. Might be from the double doorway there to that wall, and maybe as long as where I'm standing back here. Not your side. You wouldn't fit in there. They all fit in that little spot. And when it's prayer time, you literally have to walk between folded legs so that you can sit down on the floor with them and pray for them. And every single one of those people want prayer, even the children. And it's all because of God has raised you up as a family to them. Because a lot of those kids are street kids. A lot of them, that was 2013, a lot of them now are in their upper teens, got a life to live in those villages that are so remote, so isolated. Most don't have schools. So it doesn't do too well to give them a lot of Bibles because they can't read. But we give Bibles to people who can read, and they in turn read them to the children. Okay, Aaron? These are the rice packs that went along with the wool blankets for the widows. I think there were, that year there were, I want to say 105 or 110 food packets that what you gave that year for Christmas. And this is Mission Sunday, so I don't feel bad about talking about it. I feel good because this is something that the Lord put on your hearts to do with us as a church, as a fellowship. We don't have access to a lot of churches that are above us in a chain of command, if you will. We all believe God for ourselves, but also as a church body. And yet, in spite of all of that, this is what has happened here, all because of an email, because God connected us, all because of when Bill went to the Philippines. I have a whole set of photos from that trip. Okay, go ahead. And this is the widow that I followed her. I had the joy. She was a Muslim, and she got saved back in 2007. And I baptized her in the elephant pond. The elephant pond is an animal watering hole. It's an old quarry. And there's dead bones where animals fell off the rocks and drowned. There's elephant dung floating on the water. You wouldn't want to go there. But I always go in barefoot so I can feel around like that with my feet to make sure it's safe for the person that's going to be baptized. And she was one of them. And she's one that I just have always sought her out, because she had such a marvelous transformation, coming from a Muslim background all her life and coming to a saving knowledge of Christ. See, God took the solitary and put her in the family of God now. And, okay, go ahead. And these are the five. That's Prima way on the end, Shiraz way. But those were the five widows at that time. Two of them since have died and gone on to be with the Lord. Two of them gave me those 10 rupee notes. Remember the paper notes, the India money that I showed you? I went to their house to pray for them, and this has never happened. They gave me back an India note, a 10 rupee note, which is about 50 cents. But along with that, I had the richest, most wonderful revelation of the woman that gave in the offering in Jesus, the widow's two mites. And what he said, the value to the kingdom of God was what she gave was far more than everybody else that could put in lots of money. And two of those widows sowed back to me. And you wonder why my heart is so soft. It just feels like it's been mashed to the point where it's so tender. And there she is now, that one of the three. And you guys saw these pictures, but it just makes that connection real. How alone she was. She's been a widow for years and years and years. And then nobody in the Muslim community looked after her. They didn't even bother to go visit her. And whatever she got for food scraps is what she ate. So when you see these things, it really touches home in my heart. And I hope you will always be the people that you are, because I know that we're called of the Lord to be here to do what he's enabled us to do, and he's taken that and he's multiplied it. And people that you may never meet in this life, if I can at least bring you a glimpse of what I see, what I experience, what I smell, what I taste, and the beautiful people that he's put in our lives. And I don't know if I have one more, Aaron. Oh, nope, okay. No, I didn't bring the other one of the inside of her hut, because I'm not the type of person that wants to show the squalor that people live in to get people to give. I just have a hard time with that. I'd rather go and see it and be quiet and come home and tell you, and it happens. A couple other things about the solitary. And this is more biblical from Ephesians. I'll just read it. It may be better interpreted, the solitary, of the fruitfulness and increase of the church with converts. So like, you know, the people that get saved come and they connect with the local body of believers. And even from among... Now, this is coming from the biblical perspective of the non-believing Jews versus the believing Gentiles. From even among the Gentiles who were before solitary or were alone, without God in Christ and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, but being called and converted by the ministry of the word, were brought and placed into gospel churches or families. Now the others that may be applied to particular persons who before conversion may be said to be solitary or alone, living without God, the knowledge and fear of him and fellowship with him, being alienated from the life of him through ignorance, and without Christ in communion with him, he not dwelling in them, nor they in him, and also sensual, not having the Spirit, his graces and fruits, being destitute of faith, hope, and love, and moreover aliens from the people of God, having no society with them, being in a state of solitude and darkness, and under the power of sin and Satan, helpless and desolate. That's the religious application of who were the solitary. I have a little bit more of that. But an effectual calling, such a brought out of this dismal state through believing in the gospel, being drawn with the cords of love by the Spirit, the one who saw them in their loneliness and their aloneness, the Father and the Son, and brought to a spiritual acquaintance with them, they are set in families or placed in gospel churches. And they're like the firstborn of whom they're named. When you become a Christian, and you might be the first one in your family who's become a believer, you're in a sense the firstborn of the house, spiritually born again. And are saints of various ages, sizes, standing, some fathers, some young men, some children, where are provisions suitable for them and stewards to give them their portion of meat in due season, who are the ministers of the word, and laws and rules by which they are directed and regulated and everything is kept in good decorum. And that's why I put Joseph in there. That's why I showed you the first ones in the village that came and were taught for 3 months and then sent back to their villages, and they continued evangelizing and going after more that were without Christ and having no hope. It's bad enough to live in a natural life with no hope as it is, but to have no hope, not yet in the Lord, until they've heard the gospel. And many of those villages are still almost unreached. So when we get downstairs today, I want to leave you with a good thought. Jesse, could I call upon you to give me one of your favorite phrases that you say a lot, and say it to your brothers and sisters?
You're all doing a good job.
Yes. Did you get that, Aaron? All right.